Okay, good morning, everybody. We have a few things to discuss today. Number one, back on the Bezum and Beistel, we had the fascinating discussion of Gina, right? And the Gemara wanted to prove from Gina that Hezek Yishmei Hezek. The Gemara was, no, Gina is different. Gina, Shiny, Kid, Rabbi Abba, Dama, Rabbi Abba, Amar, Rafuna, Amar, Rab, also Adul Lama, Bistei, Chavir, Kishah, Shi, Omenet, Kamal, Seha, Abachay, Katani, Abil, Gazis. Right, so Gina proved the Hezek Yishmei Hezek. Gina is different because Rob said it's also to stand and look at your friend's field when it has all the standing grain, meaning when all the grain is grown, which I guess would be in the spring. I mean, likewise, it's also to look at the Gina where all the vegetables are grown. And they say, so that's different. Oh, but it says Mechain. So shouldn't Gina be the same as Chatzar? So Gina is a Chiyuv Chatzar, a Chiyuv. No, Gnol V'Gazis, it just means they're the same rules for Gnol V'Gazis, etc. If you follow the Minhag HaMakom, but they're different. That Gina is an obligation whether you want to build a wall or not, and Chatzar is only if you agree to build a wall. Okay, Tosos here asks a technical question, which is that it's a little funny. The proof that Gina is different is from Bika. Is from Bika, right? Is from a Sadeh of Tua. Which is Bekamoseha. Kamoseha means if they stand in grain. So how come the Doch even a Bika if it's Usser to look at, and why is this Isser? I haven't found more than one explanation. Rashi says here, like everyone I've seen agrees with him, to the Ayinkara. It's Usser to look at the Gina to the Ayinkara. That's the Gemara's answer. Ayinkara is a more serious hezek than just looking at someone's privacy in the Chatzar, according to this Mandamer, we don't know like. But that should also apply to Bika. So why don't we say in a Bika that Hezek Re'iyah of Ayin Harish Shmei Hezek, and why is no Chiyuv Lidur? It's very clear in the Mishnah that a Gina is different from a Bika, or certainly that's the way the Gemara explains it, enough knowledge. So what does Tosfos say? Why does this Chiyuv not apply to the Bika? If, after all, it starts with Rav in the Bika.
Because of the Gina, the Yerek is there all the time, but it's not always there one month a year, so the two are not the same.
Exactly. Tosa says the timing difference. Gina, now I'm not much of a farmer, but I know that the way you grow grain is you grow one crop a year. So when is it omit? Is it called seha? When is it sort of grown enough to be fully standing, but not yet grown enough that it's already been harvested? Only 1 month a year, I don't know, let's call it Nisan or something. Close to the same month. 1 month a year. So for 1 month a year, you're not chayiv to build a wall. But Gina grows vegetables 12 months a year. Vegetables you grow all year long. So I assume Tosas knew more about agriculture than I did. And therefore, it's not worth building a wall for 1 month a year. There are other technical explanations as well. What are some of the other technical explanations why the Chiyuv does not apply to a Gina? So it says Cosmos, only 1 month. So therefore, just not worth building a wall to protect it for 1 month. You'll just have to hope for the best and try to be in your best behavior. What is the Rabban say?
It's because of, like, why wouldn't we do it?
Sounds a little like from...
Yeah, the Rabban brings down Cosmos. He also brings down two other explanations. Now, I must admit, the language is a tiny drop. Perhaps ambiguous. The Ramban later on Daf Dalet bring the two explanations. Besides Tosos, he says maybe his first one. Derech bnei adam lahakbid bezerune gina bezerone gina yoser ibeka. People were makbid on vegetables than on a grain than on grain. I don't know exactly what it means. People are more makbid. Maybe he means that, yes, it's also to stare. But people aren't so worried about people staring. People aren't so makbid about their pickas. And therefore, you don't have to build a wall to assume someone's mochel building a wall. They're not mochel staring. They're mochel building a wall, but everyone's makbid. Okay, so you can change. So it's just a psychological ondana. Ein derech b'nei adam. Lahakbid b'bika, even though they could. Or the Ramban gives another, more scientific, or rather physical explanation. Agina, it's unclear what agina means. I would have thought agina means not harvest, it means just vegetables. The Ramban says agina also has trees, and trees are very attractive. equally elsewhere to give an ayin hara to wheat or to trees, but it's unlikely someone will give an ayin hara to wheat and violate Rabbi Yehuda Harav, whoever it was.
That's a little bit Dina from Gan Eden, isn't it?
Yeah, correct. So the Ramban said, look, Dina is not necessarily Gan. He says Ilanos are just more attractive. The Rilunil sticks with the idea of it being vegetable because it makes vegetables more attractive. Not necessarily since they're bad. Ilanos, we know, right? Kalila told vegetables are not quite the same, but still, what the Rilunil is saying, not that they're really so attractive, you polish to eat the vegetables, but that they attract the eye. The amber fields of grain, you know, you look, there's a lot of wheat there, it doesn't catch your eye. It's just like a big brown thing. As opposed to a vegetable garden, he says two reasons why they attract the eye a little more. So the Rabiosum Lunil says either they're arugos, meaning the way you plant wheat is just a big field of wheat, as far as the eye can see. The way you plant vegetables is a patch and a patch and a patch, you plant in the squares, and therefore the squares catch your eye because it's a geometrical pattern. Or he says, another reason it catches your eye is because there's higher bay minim. In wheat, if you have a big field, you plant acres and acres and acres of wheat. But with vegetables, you plant a little cucumbers, a little tomatoes, a little this, a little that. That's the derech of planting vegetables. And therefore, it attracts your eye more because all the different colors attract you. The Me'iri gives another technical reason. Says the Me'iri because it's Krova La'ir. The Ginos were closer to the city than the Bikas. And therefore, it was just quantitatively. More people were likely to look at it. They pass it all the time, so it's worth building a wall. A Bika, it's less likely people would look at it because not that many people pass by. So therefore, it's not worth building a wall. Right now, every threat, even though look at it, you know, I had heard that. Like the classic Ayin Hara is staring at a Bika. But that just means a bad hezek. But if the odds of it happening are only 0.01%, that is really not so bad, and you don't build a wall. Okay, those are the most technical explanations. The Gilyon in the Shittim Bebetzes, the Gilyon is sort of wait and show it. Really more along the side of my room sometimes, that he found on the side of his Tosos. The Gilyon in the Shittim Bebetzes gives two more radical answers that really change things a little. Because all of these are basically saying, like, okay, technically, you're right, there's Ayin Hara, it's just less likely to happen, because it's only 1 month, or maybe people aren't mad, but if it happens, says the Gilyon, he gives something a little more radical. Two pshatim a little more radical. His first pshat is, or I don't remember which the order, but one of his pshatim is because there's also dira in the gina, meaning he has a totally different pshat in this line of the Gemara. This line of the Gemara we thought was saying, looking at you and your living activities, that's not hezek. But damaging your crops through ayin hara, making you lose money in business, you know, in agriculture, that is hezriya. What he's saying here is no. Just the damage to crops by Mara is not enough to be hezriya. Just looking at you when you're doing your daily activities is not enough to be ayin hara. Only both of them together is enough to be ayin hara. And therefore, bika only has damaging crops. Chatzar only has looking at you in your daily living. But gina has both because he's assuming it's not a gina, which is normally here, before this gina, which is in the yard. That people, like we say, you know, people hang out in their gardens. A little. And they also grow things in their gardens. So it's only two factors together. Only two types of hezek together are shmei hezek. Or he says something even much more radical. Says the Gilyon something much more radical. He says that this is the most radical thing here. He says, and if not, you have to build a wall in the Bika. Who says you don't build a wall in the Bika? Of course you have to build a wall in the Bika. The classic hezek re'i of Ayin Hara is, it's Rav Abba Ravuna Rav, also Adam Lamad B'Seicha B'Yer B'Shashi Yomed B'Kamosah, is a Bika. The whole point of this is you don't have to build in a Bika. This is very radically, no. You don't have to build the Gosses, etc. in a Bika. Here it takes off on Tosos, but takes in a radical direction.
there's only 1 month a year. It's not worth building to minag amakum vil gazes pisim levanim for 1 month a year. Why? Because for 1 month a year, you just build a very flimsy thing of branches that lasts a month. And it's much more worth it, meaning instead of spending 1,000 shekel for a brick wall or stone wall that lasts forever, you spend 10 shekel for one that lasts a month. Oh, you'll have to build it again every month. It's still worth it, right? If it was something you needed protection all year, it wouldn't be worth it to spend 10 shekels in the last of the month. That's 120 shekel a year. Very quickly, it adds up to a lot. So you have to follow many of the makom. But if you only need it for a month a year, spend 10 shekel every spring, put it up for 1 year, and that's cheaper than building field of gazes. So here, the enachanami, chaya, ligdor, bibika, birak, eno chaya, ligdor, minhag, hamakom. Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 answers. Six more technical answers, 2 more Bechudish answers, either changing the mind of Hezek, biological Hezek, what he considers to Hezek, or changing the halacha bika. To this question, who is, I counted right, didn't I? 8, Sakoli, who is the most radical answer to this question? The most radical answer, I think, to this question is the Rambam, as we'll see in a moment. Enachanami, it doesn't make sense. The Rambam says, yeah, it's a good question. You're right, and it doesn't really make sense. Enachanami, the whole thing doesn't make sense. It's all wrong, because this Kasha, if it was really a fee of Ligdor Shemayin Hara, it should apply to a Bikka as well. Where does the Rambam say this? So it starts with the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam says the radical Mishnah Torah. Everyone that I can tell ever says, how tall does the wall have to be in a Dina? Let's see, the Ravid and the other Rishonim say, how tall?
Arba Amos,
just to prevent people from looking. That's what it says in our Gemara, right? Lestakel, Dalet Amos. To prevent looking. The Rambam has a radical Shita. Okay, the Meiri can live with the Rambam Shita. Most Rishonim utterly rejected. All the Rishonim totally rejected. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Shchinim. Some, he has a few radical shitas that are keen, but only one radical to our discussion now. He says, "Kama gova kotel ein pachmei arba amos v'chin bekina kofei lahatu v'nos bekinas chavir b'chitzek vo asara tfachin." You need asara tfachin. Okay, the Ravid says that's ridiculous. The shibush gadol. It's not just the shibush like he thinks most of the Rambam is. It's a shibush gadol because this one is like coming from nowhere, totally against the Gemara. Ela kotel arba amos. But the Rambam says asara tfachin. Okay. We probably figured out, what is Asar Tfachin? It doesn't prevent anyone from looking at anything. What's the purpose of Asar Tfachin? To prevent?
Trespassing.
To prevent trespassing. I mean, yes, also for the Pizza Shabbos, but that's the reason here. To prevent trespassing.
You can step over it.
You can step over a 10 Tefach. I mean, not so easily, but 10 Tefach is there. Right. Meaning, with a minimal effort, you could. It doesn't really keep out trespassers. You could step over a 10 tefach wall. So, what phrase in our parak is answering this question? Nitfas alav biganav, meaning no one has to build a wall. Maybe you have a maximum security prison. That's a sensitive topic right now. Maybe you have a diamond factory. So, you build a wall that the mamish don't get in or out. That's not a reasonable implication for regular life. You don't need to build a wall that mamish don't get in or out. The point of building a wall is that someone has no excuse for trespassing. If there's no wall, I could just say, I wandered in. What do you want from me? Right? But if there's a 10 tefach wall, then no one wanders in by accident. If you purposely scale a 10 tefach wall, you are purposely being a thief and trespassing. That's what nitfas alav biganav. He'll be caught as a ganav. So that's the point. It doesn't prevent trespassing by physically preventing trespassing. It sociologically prevents trespassing. Because now, no one will trespass because they know they'll be caught and accused of being a thief and they'll have no excuse. That's the purpose. It is nipas alav kigana. Not physically, but sociologically preventing trespassing. Okay, so the Rambam is basically against our Gemara, right? Everyone's kasha around him is he's 100% against our Gemara. Our Gemara says the reason for Gita is also the stakel. So obviously, the Dalit almost prank is stakelus. And the Rambam says, oh, it's just mitzvahs lo pigan of yud vachem. It's legamrei 100% against our Gemara. So this is mefurish in our Gemara. And this is the Rambam is against our Gemara. So how do you miyashay the Rambam with our Gemara is the famous question. How are you miyashay the Rambam with our Gemara? Now, interestingly, the Me'irim wants to be Miyashiv, right? The Rambam is our Gemara, right? What does the Me'irim say about our Gemara? How does the Me'irim Miyashiv run with our Gemara? Why am I putting this in parentheses? Because the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah does not say it's because of Mishnah Torah begun. The Me'irim seems to not have had what text? And he seems to not have had the Rambam's letter of Chachmi Lumil, which is funny, even though he lived close enough to Lumil. That or be ignored it. Because the Me'iri says, having Yashin Rambam with Gemara, says the Me'iri, the Rambam is because of Hezek Re'iyah. Says the Me'iri, the Rambam is because of Hezek Re'iyah, against everyone else, and against the Rambam in his letter to which is, I put on the course sheets, also put on the legal O's, just with some little bit mistakes in the Girsa, where the Rambam says explicitly, right? But it says the Me'iri that Rambam is also because of Re'iya and Ayin Hara. If
it's changing it to go onto Bluetooth so that you won't hear it at all.
And how does? What? Were you talking to me? Okay. It's also because of Re'iyah. So how does Yud Tzvachim prevent Re'iyah? So says the Me'iri, well, there's different kinds of Re'iyah. When it comes to Re'iyah v'chatzer, even seeing you for a few minutes in your chatzer violates your privacy and damages you. But when it comes to the gina, that's because of Ayin Hara. Meaning, when it comes to seeing your chatzer, it's the seeing you. If I see you for 1 second, that's just as bad as seeing you for 10 minutes. When it comes to the gina, it's because of Ayin Hara. It's only because of the staring for a long time. It's only if you stare for a long time. And says the Me'iri, if you have a 10 tefach high wall, that'll prevent you from staring for a long time. That's what he says. He says, "She'ein hezek ayin hara el re'iyah masmeda shel pam achas ad she'yarichu saper binyanel." 1 second is not ayin hara. Ayin hara is only if you stare for a long time and you start talking about it, etc. I started too late. He says, "Kol she'ish masar tefachim nisterhu ve'inu masmed re'iyah." Masar tefachim reminds you not to stare at it for a long time. And she omed on that. Also, la'amod al says there for a long time. She'en has a kind of horror. So says the Me'iri, also because of Re'iyah. But Ayin Hara is only for Re'iyah Mahmedet, let's say. And Yud Tfachim reminds you not to stare all the time. Okay, that's the Me'iri. He says, Ayin Hara is different violation of privacy. Ayin Hara only hurts if you stare for a long time and all the time, right? Sounds like it's a long time, all the time. If you stare constantly. And Yud Tzvachim reminds you not to stare too much. When you see a Geder Yud Tzvachim, you feel a little guilty for staring. Right? You say, oh, I'm not supposed to look there. I'll glance at it in the corner of my eye, but I won't stare at it because it's not polite. And therefore, that'll prevent you from staring at it a lot. If you don't stare at it a lot, there won't be Ayin Hara, because Ayin Hara takes a while to work. Okay, that's Me'iri's answer. That's not the Rambam's answer. This fits Rambam Mishnah Torah. It's a good thing that Rambam Mishnah Torah never said the word Nefzlov Viganev. But it's against the Tshuvas HaRambam, because the Tshuvas HaRambam, Chachmi Nineh, says that it's because of the Nitpas of Pigaf. So, it's a good answer to the Torah, but it's not the Sheet of the Rambam. Let's try number two. And I think, for many reasons, not the Sheet of the Rambam. Is the Ramban. The Ramban, maybe we also saw the like, Mishnah put Uba Yossi was on the brackets. The Ramban, Ube Midrashon, right? And those who come from the Ramban, the Ramban, Yossi, etc. The Ramban, he disagrees with the Rambam. He says the Rambam is wrong, but that's his defense for the Rambam. His defense for the Rambam is that this was all true until the last line of the Gemara. In the last line of the Gemara, until the last line of the Gemara was Dalamas. But the last line of the Gemara brought it down to Yitzchak and Nitzvah Gigana. Because what did it say? And we thought it was because of Asher Lam and Alsei Chaveiro, etc. Until we got to the last line. The last line is V'chmai V'chein Agvil V'gozis. Right? Agvil V'gozis. V'chein Katani? Question mark. Agvil V'gozis. Once V'chein means Gil V'gozis, that means V'chein is only one building material, not the same height. Until now, we thought it was the same in always. But Agvil V'gozis says same building material, but not the same in any other way. So it's not the same height. It's not the same height as for Nitzvah Gigana. It has nothing to do with Ayin Hara. And really, the Rambam is just the last line of the Sugya. So says the Ramban, the Teirutz of the Gemara, Agvil, the Gosis, Chazar Bo, the Savar, She'eino Misham, Ayin Hara, Ella, Nitfas, Allah of Kiganef. Meaning, the Gemara until then was assuming. The Gemara until then was assuming that V'chein meant it's similar always. So it must be Daladamas. So it must be because it has a great year, because Ayin Hara. But then we get to Agvil V'gozis. Once we get to Agvil V'gozis, they say, no, it's only similar, but stones or bricks or what have you. And that's it's similar in any other way. Therefore, it's no longer Daladamas. It's no longer Ayin Hara. It no longer has to do with Asu Kamas Kabira, Steh Kamir, Shasha, and South. That was all the Hapi, the Maskana, the Gemara, the Rambam's Clark. This is actually also a nice answer. There's a lot of nice answers for the Rambam. There's so many nice answers for the Rambam that, you know, I almost feel like I don't think of my own answer for the Rambam. The thing is, this is also not the Rambam's Sheet itself. Because the Rambam writes in the Tshuva L'Chach Ben Gedel, he says, but also Shinoi Shinoi B'Alma Hu V'Ein Aliba D'Helchasa, that is just a Shinoi B'Alma, that is, also, Shina Shina Bialma, who maybe could fit. The answer of Aswan Alam Sekhar is just a Shina Bialma, we call Shinui the Chikim, also in the Mishonah. It's a Dachuk answer. It's not a leap to help us. That line is just a Dachuk answer. Then they change their mind. When did they change their mind? So, says Ramban, they changed their mind when they got to Gvil V'gozis. Meaning, let me write this a little better. Sorry. Says the Rambam in his Tshuva L'Chachmei Nil, he says, the line of Ayin Hara is Shinuya B'Alma B'Lav Aliba D'Hilchasa. It's Shinuya B'Alma, it's not Aliba D'Hilchasa. When did the Gemara retract it? If the Shinui B'Alma, not only the Hilchasa, so when did the Gemara retract it? What the Mishnah says. So why did the Gemara give that answer? Meaning, if really this is a Shinui B'Alma and it's stupid, and of course that's not the real answer, so why did they say it first? Why didn't they just say the truth at first? Why did they say it first? And this was got nothing with Hezbollah. The Gemara tried to prove Hezbollah should have enough. Just say the truth. Why couldn't they say the truth at first? So let's just ask within the Rambam, why did they think so at first? And when did they change their mind? And don't just say, it was a duck against because they were stuck. Because they weren't stuck, says the Lech Mishnah. They could have just answered right away. The Gemara tries to prove, how can you answer your Shmei has that? Sorry, one second. Atashma b'chein b'gina. They should have just answered. Gina, asart fachem b'alma. They talked about b'ganav. They could have answered. Why at first were they convinced that Hesbri had to give Dachman the answer? And when did they change their mind? So the Ramban has a great answer for the Rambam. Says the Ramban, the Havamina is that the chain meant same height. But in the Maskana, the chain only means gvil, v'gazes, v'chulei. Yeah, so the Havamina, they were stuck between the chika, they thought the chain meant same height. But in the end, the chain doesn't mean the same height. The Lechem Mishnah gives a different answer, which is, I don't know why he didn't, yeah, I mean, then he mentioned B'Yosef. I think that answer is better than his answer. Since the Rambam, in his Tshuva, says, well, even in a God where you don't live, there's some God where you live, even a God where you have to be, for sure, he knows no has to be, yeah. So the Lechem Mishnah picked up on that. I'm not as excited about that, says the Lechem Mishnah. He says, at first, and why would he put this in the sugya? The Havamina is that there is Hezek Re'iya in Gagos, and therefore likewise in Ginos. And therefore, likewise in Ginos. The Maskana is not here. The Maskana is on Davav. On Davot, where Rav Nachman Amar Shein Hezek Re'iya Begagos, right? That's why there's so many fears of problems in this. Shuva Gan Tachmunil, it's Gagos and Gigos are very, very easily confused orthographically. Likewise, in Gina. Okay, he says, really, it's the Shinui Dechiki here, because we didn't yet get to Rav Davav, but we didn't yet know that Rav Nachman said there's no Hezekriya in a Gag. But once we got to Davav, we changed our mind. I think Ramban is much smoother. You don't have to wait till we get to Davav. Once we get to Davav and Beis, we change our mind, and Rav Nachman says only for Nitfas Olav Pigan. Okay, I personally think there's a more obvious answer to this. I think there's a more obvious answer to this because this might just depend on the two days of how we pass in. It's a bit of a cheshmi answer, but I think it's a shot of whether Hezri Yishmei has it or Lashmei has it. Let's think about this for a second. This is all manda where Hezri Yishmei has it, that mechitza means guja. If you want to build a wall, you build a wall. Right? It's a split cluster. If you want to build a wall, you build a wall. Mandara Hezri Yashmei Hezek says an unsplit chatzar, and if you want to split it, you split it. Now, let me just daiti that the sugyat of Beis of Beis is Azel Lefi Manda Omar Mechitza Kuda. Meaning Hezek Re'iya Lav Shmei Hezek. The Anu Kaimalan Kimanda Amar Mechitza Plukta, because we hold Hezek Re'iya Shmei Hezek. Okay, what does that have to do with anything? Read the Mishnah, it's very simple. What is the Mishnah saying? The Mishnah is saying if you hold Hezek Re'iya Lav Shmei Hezek, it's a split chatzar. Right, the chazar sheesh within chalukah. If you agree to build a wall, you have to build a wall dalet amos. What if you don't agree to build a wall? What if you don't agree to build a wall? Then what do you have to do if we split our chazar and we didn't agree to build a wall? What do you have to do?
Sarat tvachim.
Exactly. Meaning, lemanda rabachitza guda. Limanda Omar Mechitza Guda. What does the Mishnah mean? Ratsu. Bonem Dalet Amos. Lo Ratsu. Bonem Yutfachim. Meaning, how do you read the Mishnah? It's a Yishma Din Chalukah. It's split. The Chazir split. If you agree, you build Dalet Amos. And if you don't agree, you only build Yutfachim to not be Nitfas Lokigana. So what does build mean? Build in our Mishnah means build Dalet Amos and not just Yud Tfachim. In which case, volnib equals Dalinamos. If volnib is Dalinamos, then Gina, you have to build a fence. You have to build Dalinamos. You have to explain why. But, accordingly, we paskin, Lamanda Amar, Mechitza Plutta, Rutsu equals Onen Dalinamos, because you want to split the chutzner. What does Lo Rutsu mean? Lo Rutsu means, accordingly, we paskin, Imadin Chaluka. Lo Rutsu means you never need to split in the first place. If you never need to split in the first place, then if you don't split it, you obviously build nothing. Because if you never split plunk, if you never split the chutzner, of course you have to build the wall again and split the chutzner. In which case, what does bonin mean in our Mishnah? Bonin equals bonin. Hey, say kotel. You build some kotel. Bonin doesn't daf mean dalat amos as opposed to your tachan. Bonin means you build something. So v'chein begina means you build something, right? V'chein begina. Bone and Dalinamos. For that, under real past life, you have to say the chain beginning means Dalinamos. So you can't be Yitzvachim. Yitzvachim is what you do if you're not Ratsu. Ratsu Dalinamos, so the chain beginning. But here you just say the chain beginning, bone and kotel. How much? That doesn't have to be the same amount because the point of the Mishnah wasn't that Dalinamos is supposed to be Yitzvachim. The point of the Mishnah is building is supposed to not building. Ratsu means to build. The chain you also built here, but a different amount. You can't say here, you build your tefachim. Then that's not like Ratsu. Ratsu, that's like low Ratsu. How can you sell it with chain? But over here, you can say, it's tefachim. That's v'chein. V'chein, you have to build. How much is it not important? We're just asking if you have to build or not. Okay? Well, let me ask Daiti, I think that's how I would have answered that. Limanda Omar, it's the husband answer. I don't love this answer. Limanda Omar has been lost by Hezek. We don't hold by Mechitza. Guda means Guda. And Ratsu means you have to build Dafka Dalinamos as opposed to Yitzvachim. A Dafka Dalinamos goes to Yitzvachim, they had to get into Shinimi and Dechiti. But we paskin, no, if you deploy Ratsu means you build something. How much Dalinamos? The Dafka is building something. Low Ratsu means you don't build anything. Bechim Bedina, you build something. How much? Not the same amount, just something. Okay, Kach Nero, we have three answers to the Rambam, we can defend the Rambam. Now, what's the Rambam's? Again, what's the Rambam's? Let me say it better. I said more than I probably was. So, I want to say this. Therefore, obviously, logically, you shouldn't need Dalit fucking the geek. Because who cares that I'm hard? Logically, it's fucking. But over here is you're stuck. Can't say Yud Tvachim for the Gina. Why can't you say Yud Tvachim for the Gina? Because you can say Ratsu Bel Dalinamos, not Yud Tvachim, Bechim Begina. Bechim Begina build Yud Tvachim. That's what you do if you weren't Ratsu. So how can you say Bechim? But over here, you can say any shear you want for Gina, since Ratsu means you build a wall, and low Ratsu you don't build a wall, so Ratsu you build a wall, Bechim Begina you build a wall. Yeah, but that's not I might have put down the tables, but I can say whatever I want. It's just logically, it's your tefachim, because logically there's no Hezekiah and Gina. Therefore, I have the luxury of saying it. That's what I want to type. Okay, let's just go back for a second, take a step up, yeah? That's logically it's a sort of fine. The question is, can you see what's logical in the FBI? Here you can say what's logical. Ratsu, you build a wall. In accordance with it, it's appropriate. Sometimes Dalinamos, sometimes you're talking whatever's logical. Here you can't say what's logical, you have to say something dumb. Because you can't say Vachin Medina, you build Yitzvachim. Because that Ratsu means you build more than Yitzvachim. So then it wouldn't be Vachin.
Just say
basically
the conversation that we should.
Where Man of Shmei has Sugina is less. Sugina is less than Chatzar. Yes, although I don't think that technically answers the question of, you know, just because Gina is less than Chatzar, but how do we know that that it's only Yud Tvach? I'm just not sure that technically answers the question. They assumed it was Dalet Amos. Where do we change our mind and say it was Yud Tvachim? We changed our mind and said Chatzar was more classic Hezek Ru'iyah than Gina. Therefore, Chatzar is regardless of the Minhag. I used to say, and once we know the Chatzar, who goes to the Minhag, Gina is now, we also know it's more of a, okay, could be. But I think I'm maybe we're on something more direct. In any case, let's.
Can I ask a question about the Ramban's answer?
Huh?
About the Ramban's answer. What the Rambam says explicitly is that by a Gina, it's for the Knitvas Kiganov. Knitvas Kiganov, as the Gilyon pointed out, is not Matim to Gvil Vigozis.
I'm not convinced. That's not true. Because what's the point of Gvil Vigozis is that it'll last a long time and it won't fall down and you won't have to rebuild it and waste your money. For Knitvas Kiganov also. Obviously, for Knitvas Kiganov, a symbolic demarcation is good enough. But it's still worth building Gvil Vigozis because, again, for 10 shekel, you could build a very flimsy thing that the guy will be down if he climbs over it, but it'll fall down. You have to rebuild it 100 times, 200 times. And therefore, it's more economical to just spend 1,000 shekel and build Gvil Vigozis. So the Gilead was only saying if you need it for a month, but in the beginning, you need it for all year long. Okay, let's take it back and say, why did, so you can defend the Rambam against the Gemara, but there's a difference between someone has Pashup Shad in the Gemara and you can defend it. The Rambam's clearly not Pashup Shad in the Gemara. The Rambam's clearly a dog of Shad in the Gemara, which we can somehow defend. We can have all kinds of clever ways to defend the Rambam, but the Rambam's clearly not saying his Shita because he got it from the Gemara. He's saying his Shita because of some other reason. What's the reason the Rambam says his Shita? So here you can take it two ways. Why does the Rambam say Shita? One way, if you want to be very pedantic, you can say, ah, so he was bothered by Tosfos Tasha. If it's really because of Ayin Hara, why wouldn't it apply to Mika? So it must be, it's not because of Ayin Hara, it's because of Ganef. And there's more Nifat Loki Ganef, there's more Gneva by Gina than Mika. But that, from the little half of the middle, it doesn't sound like that's his real reason. What's the real reason the Rambam deviates from Pashup Shad in the Gemara? Ali? What's the real reason the Rambam deviates from Pashup Shad in the Gemara?
Ayin Hara isn't everything it's cut up to be.
He doesn't hold from Ayin Hara. He's a rationalist. He doesn't hold from Ayin Hara. Look what he says here. Zosa shenu haisala nashim gerol kumachu b'shol sa. B'chilo shanu l'chu b'hezek r'iya shu hezek gadol vadai. Hezek r'iya is a vadai damage. It actually does something. Sheyira adam chavira b'eishu omei v'yoshe v'osa tzrach. Looking when you're getting up and sitting down and doing your needs. I don't think osa tzrach is going to the bathroom. I think you're doing your needs. That's an actual vadai hezek that really accomplishes something. Not something physical, something psychological, it really doesn't. You think something that's vadai is the same thing as Isha? He says, Ayin Hara is only Dibre Chasidus. It's not a Hezek Vadai. You know, the Rambam is very clear where he's coming from. He's coming from his philosophical orientation. If Lu Yitzur Ayin Hara was a Hezek Vadai, then he would admit to Pshat in the Gemara. But Ayin Hara is not Hezek Vadai. Ayin Hara is only different chasidus. It's midas chasidus not to look with an Ayin Hara. But what's the implication? I know here I'm adding a few words to the Rambam, I think barely. It doesn't actually damage anything. Just midas chasidus. Interesting notice. The Rambam, when he translates Ayin Hara, he says it as Ayin Ra. What's interesting about calling it Ayin Ra as opposed to Ayin Hara? It sounds almost the same. But In Chazal, Ayin Hara usually means you're going to damage something. What does Ayin Ra mean? What does where do you find Ayin Ra? As opposed to Ayin Tova. What does Ayin Ra and Ayin Tova mean?
By Truma.
By Truma, generously versus stingily, right? Ayin Ra gives 1/60, Ayin Tova gives 1/40, or the Midas of Bilma Rasha or Ayin Ra and the Midas of Abraham gives Ayin Tova, meaning it means thinking mean thoughts, being stingy, and not, you know, and thinking mean thoughts. Generous, and wanting people to have things. Right? Ayin Ra is said in terms of midos. The context of Ayin Ra and Chazal is midos, it is not damage. So the Rambam, I think, is clearly saying here, don't compare Hezek Vadai to Divrei Chasidus. Divrei Chasidus means piety. What is piety? Piety is about midos. If something's really a Hezek, that wouldn't be Divrei Chasidus. It's not to be Hasidus to not destroy someone's crops. No, that's just being a decent person to not destroy someone's crops. To be Hasidus is, it's usher first. What do we usher? Usher in Midas Hasidus. Usher in Pigliagos. Midas Hasidus. Usher in Midos. Usher in Mishil Shisharim. To stare at someone's crops when they are fully grown, because you could easily start having bad thoughts about them, and bad thoughts are not Midas Hasidus. The Rambam thinks Ayin Hara doesn't damage anything, and that's why the Rambam had to give a different shot. And let's figure out why the Rambam thinks Ayin Hara doesn't damage anything for a moment. But first you have to ask the question. Why does everyone else think Ayin Hara does damage something? So why does Ayin Hara damage anything? How many sheets do we have in the first sheet? Why Ayin Hara damages things? Well, it depends how you count, so whatever you say is right. Okay, could be. But, maybe I'll call it four, but again, it all depends how you count. What does the, I would venture to say this might be a meaning in a certain historical context. What does the Maharal say? The Maharal say the eye actually has power to burn. We might call it mystical. We might have called it, you know, I don't know. What does he say? Yaduaki ayin har yishmokeach ishi soreith. The eye burns. Again, here it's a little funny because the Rabbagos says that the Rabbagos is far from mystic. You know, depending on your science, I'm not a bucky in history of science. I should consult it. There's one of the Rebbetzins, one of our Rosh Yeshiva, is a historian of science. I should have consulted with her. But if I'm not mistaken, I think the way we understand science is that light reflects off something. Light comes from some external source, reflects off something, and goes into our eye, and that's how we see. Right? And in our sort of modern physics, if I tried to say it in the other way, I would sound stupid. But you have to realize that at different historical periods, people had different physics, and since the physics, and things sounded different, and I can't make it sound good now, because, you know, I don't really have the range to re-envision the whole world. But at one time in history, the way vision worked is that light came from your eyes and hit and saw the thing, and that's how you saw it. I know it doesn't sound like it makes sense to us, but all I'm saying is that once upon a time, their physics was different, and, you know, you could be like a little mysticism and a little physics, and you put it together, and you got the eye having power, and that's what the Maharal says. Has Kohen Shi, the eye has fire in it that burns things. Why? Because the eye of light that sees, and that's very close to fire, that burns. The Rambag says the same thing. Says the Rambag that Yotzum and Ayim Tzas Edim Mimosar Sheyitcha Pateva. There's sort of extra humors that come out of your that come out of your eye, and his proof is that the Aristotle, that philosopher was Aristotle, wrote that if a woman who's a Nita looks in a mirror, they'll read on the mirror from the Nita. Okay, again, it's hard for us to relate to that. And then he says it could kill people because it could be poisonous for them. Okay, and that's why he says, that's why Ayin Hara is such a big problem. Meaning, there's one classic understanding, the Rabag Marav, we could probably find 20 other Mepharshim like this, that says destructive power comes out of your eye. It's that simple.
So why is Thoni and Dina not in Chatzar? Why in Chatzar is it taken to be much more real?
No, who says that it's not in Chatzar? Remember, the Rabban and Dachman Tess also mentioned the Ayin Har in Chatzar. So in Chatzar, there's lots of other things besides Ayin Har.
But the Rambam here, when he responds to the Chachmei Lumiel.
Because Chatzar, you're violating your privacy. Who cares about Ayin Har? Right? But in Dina, there's no privacy. All there is Ayin Har, and the Rambam denies it. But the Ralbag and the Maharal accept it. How is the Chazon Ish a little different than the Maharal? Just to be fair, the main discussion of the Chazon Ish is more of a strictly philosophical discussion, which is how can Ayin Har hurt someone if Hashem doesn't want them to be hurt, part of the general philosophical question of how can I hurt you if it wasn't Nigzar you to hurt me, not Shamayim, which, okay, everyone discusses, we're not getting to that now. But the Chazon Ish starts off by saying, he says, "Misoda sabriya ki adam b'machshavto who may niya gormin istorim olam amaisa machshavto akalatu b'lshamish gorm laheres b'kurban shel geshamim utzakim." It's from the secrets of creation that a person's thoughts can move various cogs that are hidden in the physical world, and a light, even a fleeting thought, can be a cause that moves some system, that secret that we don't know about, that destroys even solid objects. Geshamim Mutsakim, solid objects. Okay, the Amr Bipsakim, etc., etc. And therefore, he says, when people wonder why someone has so much success, why does this guy have so much green, why is he so rich, etc., and they have bad thoughts about him, that could be Misakim, that could cause danger. Meaning, the Hazan is actually a little different. You know, perhaps he wasn't into the eye as much, maybe didn't relate to it as much. You know, I don't know. They say the Chazon Ish, right, knew all surgery and anatomy, etc. So I don't know if it's true, but let's assume for our purposes it works out well. So he didn't really see anything in the eye that had any special power, and he didn't understand why the eye would have mystical power. Why does the eye have more mystical power? The eye is not what the Shabbat is. It's the mind that should have mystical power. That's what he says, the Koach HaMachshava, not the Koach of the Ayin. That's, once you get to the 20th century, it's a little easier to say, because, you know, the Chazon Ish just didn't see where the Ayin had this power. But Machshava, you never know a power of Machshava. Like, if you want to say some secret power that's beyond the anatomy books, you're better off going to Machshava than going to the Ayin. So, if you ask, what's the Koach of... So you could say that it is some, and here I will call it, even though I said mysticism and physics at a certain point in history got a little blended, you could say that, what's the koach of Ayin Hara? You could say it's something more mystical, so you could say it's the koach of the Ayin, that's the Maharal, and the Ralbag. Yes, correct. And that's what I said. Yes, correct. Or the Koach HaMachshava, which is the Chazon Ish. You'll see why I'm putting them together in a second. Or maybe the Koach HaMachshava, that's Chazon Ish. What's the Nafkamina if it is, let's say, a direct damage, mystical, or physical, let's say, right? It's still a little mystical, I think. It's still a little weird mystical. But, you know, let's say a little better. Direct damage, it actually directly caused some damage. It moved some cogs, mystical and physical. That's like a question mark. Okay, what's an nafkamina, whether it's the Ayin or the Machshava? Whether an Ayin is here. Exactly, meaning, what if you see a video of someone, right? What if you see a picture, a video camera? What if you see a TikTok of someone's success? Can you give them an Ayin Hara? According to the Maharal, if you only see someone on TikTok, you can't give them an Ayin Hara because your eye is only hitting your phone. It's not hitting them. You don't need TikTok, right? Photographs, early movies, right? If you see someone in a picture or a video, you can't give them an Ayin Hara. Or what if you just hear about someone? A very lurid description. You can't give them an Ayin Hara. But, according to Chazon Ish, even if you just see the video of someone, that's a big nafkamina. I mean, should I be miser for Ayin Hara on social media? According to the Maharal, you don't have to worry about Ayin Hara over social media because someone's not looking at you, they can't hurt you. According to Chazon Ish, if someone's thinking about you, they can hurt you. So even before social media, you should be miser and Ayin Hara people just talking about you, about your success. And certainly nowadays, if they're going to see videos and pictures of your success, you have to be. So that's a big nafkamina. What is the nafkamina? The nafkamina is if shama or ra'a tmuna or seret, then there's no Ayin Hara. But according to Chazon Ish, there is Ayin Hara. That would be a big nafkamina. Okay, however, there is also a more, let's call it rational. By rational, I don't mean secular, keep in mind. Right? Secular is not one of the stuff in our Gemara's here. But there's a rational religious perspective and mystical religious perspective. Generally, the difference is the mystical religious perspective says things I do have power to do certain things in secret ways. The rational religious perspective is only God has power to do anything. Only Hashem has power to do anything. Anything I do can only do anything because it might cause Hashem to do something, etc. Right? So that's, again, the mystical religious perspective would say, you know, do this school because it will give you success. The rational religious perspective would say, no, only if you do mitzvah separate. So in Hashem, will that give you success if there's a rational principle, it's not a punish, etc. Okay, could there be a rational bidei shamayim explanation for ayin hara? So who gives that? Who gives one of those? Yoni? Rav Dessler. What does Rav Dessler say? Rav Dessler says, what does ayin hara mean? It means you're flaunting and showing off your wealth or success. And how does that make the other guy feel?
Terrible. Jealous.
Jealous and terrible, right? Right, but the answer is it makes it feel terrible. Tsar. It's mitzar, the other guy, right? They, like, what are people lives with Ayin Hara? Right, they're worried about Ayin Hara, their kids, etc., right? Okay, and you had a Yom HaTorah recently, you know, if someone has 10 kids and they parade them in front of their friend who is struggling with infertility and has no kids, then they make them feel awful. And therefore, it's their fault for making them feeling awful, so they deserve an omish. So immediately, the omish could be that they lose what they have, and that's not such a chiddush, meaning, you know, again, I'm not, you know, Chazal debate Pnina's intentions. But we can all agree that on a shot level, Pnina was deserving of an omish 2 days ago. But the chiddush of Dessler is, and he has a few parts like this in different areas of philosophy, is that even if all I did was grow my wheat, and I just happen to be rich and have bigger wheat fields with better wheat than anyone else, there are all these poor people who don't have enough to eat and very, you know, ne'er-do-wells, and they look at my wheat and they're like, oh, it's really painful for me. How Ploni is so successful and I have nothing, and it really makes me feel lowly and, you know, and down. Even then, the Ploni could be punished for being goreng the tsar of this own guy, even if he didn't do it on purpose. That's ayin hara. Someone can be punished even if they didn't try to oppress anyone. They're just living their life and living their lifestyle, and it so happens that it puts tsar to other people who don't have. They can also be punished for goreng tsar. So that's a big chiddush, because I'm just living my life. I'm trying to be goreng tsar, but you never know. So says Rav Dessler.
But isn't that opposite to the reason you're putting up a fence? You put up a fence to protect the other guy. Here, you're hurting yourself.
Ah, so it's interesting. Like, according to this, maybe the owner of the wheat should have to put up the fence because he's the mazik through being a tsar, his friend. Not his friend that has to build the fence because he's looking at the wheat. That is a good kasha on the Dessler, unless the Dessler would say, no, you only have to put up the fence for at least this half meter for physical destruction of crops, not for psychological tsar, but it's a good kasha with Dessler. From Dessler, to me, it's a little too convoluted anyway, I must admit. I'm not saying I'm totally attracted to it, but this is what Rav Dessler says. The Nechum Eliyahu, Rav Dessler says you're going tsar to your friend. Okay, I found this interesting sefer, the Elam Iluim, who gives a different shot. What's the Elam Iluim's shot? He says, this is what they taught me when I was a kid in school. And then I wasn't sure where they got it from until I found this sefer Elam Iluim. He says that really, how does ayin hara work? If it's similar in some ways, more similar to, let's say, claw, right? Or to, as he quotes it, b'kara alecha l'Hashem v'yabachachet, right? What does the Torah say? B'kara alecha l'Hashem v'yabachachet. If you don't lend money to a poor person, or you don't give back his mashkon, etc., he will complain to Hashem and you'll be punished. So the kash is, why are you punished if you complain to Hashem? Shouldn't you be punished based on what you deserve? So here he says, he makes one assumption about the ways of divine providence. He says, really, Hashem has been defessed. He doesn't always give everyone the shiur set. I mean, you know, machus da'arik is, or kia ke machus da'ara, like it works down here. Hey, you might as well, it doesn't work that way upstairs, right? I could be doing something against the law, and no one does anything to me, but once someone puts in a complaint, then they come and they prosecute me, right? So yeah, you might have thought that's only down here because they have limited resources to prosecute, but in Bez and Shammah, they have infinite resources. His condition still works that way. I might get more than I deserve, and I might not get punished by a Averos, as long as no one complains. But if someone complains, he calls it Mevaker Pinkasar. It causes an examination of my books, meaning clone. He's a rich guy. He has lots of vegetables in his dinar or wheat in his sada, etc. Or lots of kids, lots of money, whatever. And Hashem lets it slide, even though he doesn't really deserve it. When someone comes and complains, says, it's not fair, Hashem. How come he gets more than I do and he does? Why does he deserve more than I do? It's not fair. The guy's a time. That's not fair. So then Hashem has to make it fair. And what does Hashem say? Either he checks Plony's books and says, well, Plony just deserves more than you, so tough luck. Or he checks Plony's accounts and says, Haki, you're right, it's not fair. I have to take it away from Plony. It's a big fish that someone doubting to Hashem that it's not fair can make Hashem listen. It makes common sense. Yeah, if it's not fair and I complain to Hashem, he has to do something about it. He has to make it fair. Either give me or take away from him. And he doesn't always want to give me, so he has to take away from him. It's a fish. But that's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that it's Goreim, what is he called? Bikur Pinkaso. He checks his books. Here's the Elamidun. Meaning when I complain to Hashem, what I'm basically doing is saying, Hashem, it's not right that he has so much. That's what Ayin Hara is. It's davening to Hashem and saying it's not fair. And if it's taka not fair, then Hashem will have to accept the tefillah, because Hashem has to be fair. Until now, Hashem say, me it's a chesed, I'm not always going to be fair. I'm allowed to be unfair, l'tov. You know, me it's a chesed. But if the guy complains it's not fair, then it's not fair, then Hashem will do something about it. And therefore, the guy complaining to Hashem might cause Hashem to listen to his tefillahs. And if you say, why should Hashem listen to his tefillahs? Why does Hashem just do whatever he wants? We have a pasuk for Karal Lech Al Hashem Vayom HaChim. In the Pesukim, we see that people's tefillos could have an effect. I mean, exactly the same punished, but that's what it seems to. Okay, I think there are many nafkaminas between, let's call it, the rational explanation and the mystical slash physical explanation. What are some of the nafkaminas that could be between these two explanations? I think number one could be the question, what kind of damage this is? How direct is this? If you say, my ayin is soreif, or my machshava sets a cog in motion in the physical world that destroys things, that's more of a direct hezek. If you say, I feel tsar, so you get punished, or I complain to Hashem and he examines your ledger, that's not a direct hezek. That's very much a rabba hezek. So the nafkamina might be is, what kind of hezek, right? Chiyuv tashlumin. / directness of hezek. I don't think directness is a word, but whatever. If you view it as something physical, then what does the Levush say? The Levush says, Ayin Hara is Girin delayed. He says a little more. A few Rishonim say that. He says, let me read you this line. Give me a second, sorry. Where is this? Here it is. Says the Levush Ayin Hara equals mazik b'yadayim. Mazik b'yadayim is a real hezek. That makes sense. If your eye destroys something, that's a real hezek. Says the Kiel Yaakov in the Stipler. Said the Stipler in the Kiel Yaakov, rather. He says something very radical. He says, b'ikaron, theoretically, chayav l'shalim. If I damage the Ayin Hara, I have to pay for the damage. Theoretically, I have to pay for the damage to Ayin Hara, because it's mazik b'yadayim equals l'vush. Practically, what's the problem? It's hard to prove you need Aegis. It's hard to prove you damaged the Ayin Hara. Since we can't see it physically, it's hard to prove. Maybe it got damaged from something else. Therefore, practically, we can't make you pay if you damaged the Ayin Hara because we don't know you damaged the Ayin Hara. But if we knew you damaged the Ayin Hara, theoretically, you'd be chayav to pay. If you view it as no, it's just like a punish min hashamayim for your vagros, then yeah, I had a part to play in this. I'm not a nice person by making the wheels of heaven turn, in your disfavor. But you can't call Mazik Yadayim. I'm not Mazik Yadayim. You're getting the oldest from Hashemayim. You certainly have no having a Chiyuv Tashlumin. And I didn't notice who the Kiel Yaakov was writing to someone. This is a response to someone. I didn't notice who he was responding to, but the responded to Gil's app and said, "Pusher, you're positive. This is not real Mazik." So then you would clearly say that it's not Mazik Biadayim, would be Ikaron, Ein Chiyuv Tashlumin. Another nafkamina could be, do you compare it? And here, Yomi, I'm going to leave the sort of physical and speak to the mystical. Do you compare it to Shadim? Right? If you look at a rationally Omish and Shemayim, it has nothing to do with Shadim. It just has to do with Skarva Omish, religion. If you view it as a mystical, maybe it's similar to Shadim. Maybe not. But at least maybe it's similar to Shadim. In what ways it would be similar to Shadim? So number one, we have two kulas when it comes to some sort of Shadim. One kula is found in the Gemara Arim Psachim. What does it say about Zugos? The Shadim of Zugos? Zugos even numbers? What does it say about Zugos?
Yeah,
are you mocking on even numbers? Not to do anything even number of times or have an even number of things? The Shadim get you if you do even things? So what's your defense? What? Shadim not comes from Zugos. The Gemara says in Arim Psachim, man de kapit kaptina ba de man de lo kapit lo kaptina ba de. That's not the last word anymore. It's not so fashion, but that's quoted by the post-it. If you're mocked with the shame are mocked with you, if you believe in it, it hurts you. If you don't believe in it, it doesn't hurt you. So maybe nowadays you're not mocked, but it doesn't hurt us. Because the Ayin Hara hurt people who are not mocked. I don't believe in Ayin Hara. If you don't believe in Ayin Hara, can it hurt you? So interestingly, says the, what about two? Man de lo mocked, meaning if you don't believe in it. You don't have to not believe in it. You could just not care about it, right? If you don't believe in it, says Rav Moshe Feinstein. He says, well, we could be a little more vague on Ayin Hara, because anyway, man de lo makbid, lo kapdima. But Ayin Hara, he says, yeah, you should be choshes, but don't really worry about it. Because dvar mei lo man de lo kapbid, lo kapdima bade. If you don't believe in it, it can't hurt you. Okay, he says, but the Gemara says, you still worry about it a little, but not so makbid. Okay. Don't believe in it. Don't worry about it. I don't know if you mean don't believe in it, but don't worry about it. Yeah, if you don't worry about it, it won't hurt you. That makes a lot of sense from a mystical perspective. So you can say, ulai eino maziklo, which is the shita of the Igros Moshe. And Rav Avadya, in his Tshuva at Ayin Hara, also brings up the Svara. I didn't underline it right now, but someplace towards the end, he actually quotes Rav Moshe. He says that, look up, Dina, my day. He also brings this svara. Okay. That's part of his many svaras. However, it was pointed out that in the Birkei Yosef, if he does perish on Shavuot Aruch HaChaim, he says, Afilo heim lochai, the two brothers in a row, it's Ayin Hara to give Elias, even if they don't worry about Ayin Hara, Anuf Lomachim Shalayakim Dik Ayin Hara. Even if they don't worry about it, there is. So, if you view it as something rational, then maybe it wouldn't hurt you. The Igros Moshe, Rav Avadya also quotes this, not so much of the Gabri. Let's quote the Igros Moshe then. Then Vadai, Afal Pikei Mazik, who cares if you believe in it or not? It's a rational star of Onish. And this is the Shita of the Birkei Yosef.
Obviously, he does
not have that side. Obviously, right. But Ulay to Maziklo. Ulay. Maziklo BK. Meaning, really, you can go either way. Because who says Maziklo Kapo Kapdina Lay? That's only by Zugos. Who says that applies to everything? Right? Certainly if it's physical, even if it's mystical. There's some mystical things that still apply nowadays. Same thing with Yosef go either way. Obviously, what you do something rationalist. I hear that. Okay. And another nafkamina could be, what about Shinoi HaTeva? Does it change different historical eras? We know the basis of Schar Ha'omesh doesn't change historical eras. That's like the paper of God does that Hashem runs the world, the Schar Ha'omesh, so don't even change historical eras. But things about mysticism and powers and demons and eyes, maybe the Shinoi Teva. Why do we think the Shinoi Teva? Because what does Tosu say? Tosu says the Ruach Raz of the Gemara. Okay, it's controversial. All Ruach Raz or some Ruach Raz don't apply nowadays. Tosus was not trying to be rationalist. Tosus just saying, we don't have those demons. Okay, which is why some people explain, big machlokas, right? Nowadays, can you leave peeled eggs and garlic and onions overnight or not? Or will the shadim get it? So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't write this asur.
And
someone there to explain, because Tulsa's already said that we don't have these Shaykhim anymore now with the Shino Tepa. The Shaykhim are not the same in all generations. Certainly our science is not the same in all generations. So what you say is Shinoi Teva when it comes to Ayin Hara. So here you would say, Vadai Shalom Nishtana. For sure Ayin Hara hasn't changed since the old days, because it's just like Dark Yashtaka. Dark Yashtaka hasn't changed since the old days, but if you say something mystical or weird about the eye, maybe that changed the generations. And here you see, I don't have room, so I'll just make a little box here. Ulai, maybe Nishtana, the Meshach HaDoros. Maybe it did change. And we have two shitas that say it did change. Of course, the thing is, if it changes, it could change in two directions. There could be less power by Ayin Hara nowadays. There could also be more power by Ayin Hara nowadays. So, here Rav Avadya says, let's start with the Bris Olam. The Bris Olam, which is also the Chidah. It's Pirush on the Sefer Chassidim, says the Bris Olam. Oh, did I not bring the Bris Olam? Get to the cracks of the ship here. Says the Bris Olam, he says, let me just quote you a line. What does he say? He says, Nishtana Teva, just like Zugos don't hurt anymore, Ayin Hara hurts more. Gavra kama Sitra Achra. We have a bigger Sitra Achra nowadays, so Ayin Hara is even worse. That's what he says here. Gam lin yonam elin nishtana, de gavra Sitra Achra me Ayin Hara bazeh. But, the Rav Avadya says a little different. He says,
isn't that his split with the Beni Shai? Fundamentally, the Beni Shai did much more in the world of mysticism.
Yes, absolutely. So first he quotes in the Adei Paz, that man look up and look up Dina Bade. And then he quotes something else here. Then he says, nowadays, certainly if it's a mitzvah, you don't have to worry about it. He quotes the Rambam. And right, his case was like making a wedding that might be a shash of Ayin Hara, but getting married is. Here we are. Adar is about a shash, Lahaka is about a shas. Because we find many Ruch Rosh of Batlub is manazah. He takes a mystical approach and he says, what does Rav Avadya say? The Omer says that it's weaker is manazah. Because we don't have so many shade of is manazah. And the Bris Olam of the Chidah says it's stronger is manazah. But they're both assuming that it depends on the koach, the shade of the Sitra Achra, and the mystical forces. From a rational perspective, of course, nothing changes. So they would both be on the mystical side. Okay, so these are some of the nafkaminas of Ayin Hara. Let me just, we have sort of two basic brachim. One is that it's mamash ahezek, either through your machshava or through your ayin, in some secret way that we don't know, that's mystical / ancient physics. And the other is that, no, it's just dark yashkach of sarga omish, either for inadvertently quoting tsar, or that when someone complains that it's not fair, Hashem checks if it's fair. He lets it slide, but with some of the plans, he checks if it's fair. Like, that's what Moshe did in the Shemayim, meaning, what is Moshe did in the Shemayim, right? I tell Hashem, this person is in the book, I want you to touch it. It's considered very bad news that Moshe did in the Shemayim, because it works. Because somehow Hashem is affected by what we say in terms of other people. Not Chas V'Shalom, that what we say to other people causes Hashem to do something that's like, I'm against his will. We can't force Hashem. It's not like the ancient primitive magic. We can force the gods to do something they don't want to do, Chas V'Shalom. But given that Hashem has din and has rachamim, we can complain and demand that Hashem use the midas hadin and stop having so much rachamim because it's not fair. Okay, and we saw many, many nafkaminas within the mystical derech. Clearly, here I would put that there is ayin hara even if you don't see it. Right, because it has nothing to do with the koch of the ayin, and after meeting a chiv hashtulman, the rechis hezek is a real hezek, or is it just min hashamayim? Would we say that like shadim, these two are basically to be compared to other shadim things? Like shadim, if you're not mocking, you can't hurt you.
maybe if it's mystical, for sure not if it's rational. And do we say there are changes in the Shemir HaTeva because shading go up and down, maybe if it's mystical, not if it's rational. Okay, let's just, yeah.
Is that more like a bigger?
Lechora, he would say that's a big gossip. Otherwise, why would Hashem care if the Yahoo coin goes to die? Good point. So now let's go to the Rambam for a second.
Maybe you said that the Rambam meant Ayn Ra and not Ayn Hara, like you pointed out before, and thought the guy was trying to steal something from him. In other words, that's
steal something. I think it's just bad meals. I think it's just bad meals.
But then, if he's trying to steal something from them, then
I don't think he's trying to steal something. He's just resentful that the guy.
Then any boundary would be good enough, though, and you don't need a Asara 12. You don't need Dalet Amos. If you think he's trying to steal something and he puts a boundary there, you know he's not trying to steal.
Say that again?
If you say that he's trying
to... Right, I hear what you're saying. You're saying okay, fair enough, but I think the Rambam is different chassidus. He doesn't mean Xeri might come to steal. I think it just means you shouldn't have bad meals. Okay, let me just end with one point. Why does the Rambam deny Ayin Hara? According to deny Ayin Hara, you have to buy all the shots. Right? Okay, the Rambam obviously just didn't think there was mystical power in your machshava, or that there was fire in your eyes that were things. That was against the Rambam's faith, at least. But why did the Rambam accept a rational approach? Okay, the Reb Dessler is a little, maybe, duh, okay, what do I made sorry you just by having meat? But why not the rational approach that if you complain to Hashem, it can affect someone? So I think here the Rambam would be Lashita say, there's a famous machlok between the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch, on the pasuk of Mosakalo Shchirish, right? You're not allowed to curse any Jew, but the Torah specifically says Mosakalo Shchirish. Why does the Torah specifically say Mosakalo Shchirish? So the Chirish is, according to most Mepharshim, even a Shchirish. Obviously, I can't Mekalel Moshe because I'm going to hurt his feelings if he hears me being Mekalel him. And then many other bad things will come out of it, right? Then he'll fight with me. We'll have a feud. We'll end up killing each other, etc. I can't be mekalel a hearing person because I'll hurt their feelings. I can't even be mekalel a chirish, even though it doesn't hurt his feelings. I still can't be mekalel with him. Why not? So there are many answers. Why not? Says the Sefer Chinuch. He says this is the proof that a klala really hurts someone. Why did the Torah say lo skala chirish? Even though it doesn't hurt his feelings, it hurts him in Shemayim. Klala has koach in Shemayim. What did the Rambam say? The Rambam says, say for mitzvos, what's the chiddush of mosakal of chirish? Even though, says the Rambam, even though it doesn't hurt him, it still makes you have bad midos. It hurts your midos. So interestingly, like, what's the damage of mosakal of chirish? Lo sekalel chirish says the Chinuch that the klala is mazik up in Shemayim. Says the Rambam that it's bad midos, even though it doesn't hurt him at all. But it's bad midos for me to curse him, and it makes me a terrible person. And you're not allowed to have bad midos. The Rambam should tell him, "Oh, there's the gap that good midos." So says the Chinuch, it seems to the Rambam, he says, it doesn't hurt anyone with bad midos. It seems to the Rambam that klala doesn't hurt anyone. It's just bad midos. So the Rambam wouldn't say just bad midos. He would say bad midos is worse than anything in the world, because bad midos are really terrible, according to the Rambam. But, you hear, so I think here's the Rambam, what Shita's saying. The Rambam says, I can't actually hurt anyone by what I say, by what I'm telling them. Nothing I do can hurt someone else in Shemayim. If nothing I do can hurt someone else in Shemayim, then I never can't hurt anyone. Ayin Hara is just different chassidus, like, not like klala. I mean, klala is already a terrible mitos. That's a lot. Ayin Hara is just different chassidus. But I think here the Rambam's Lashita saying, why do I deny Ayin Hara? Because he's not even willing to say the element of shot. Because the Rambam Lashita say, nothing I say can hurt someone else in Shemayim. He doesn't believe in Bikur Pinkasim. Right? Hey, otherwise my klala would have an effect. He doesn't believe my words have power up in Shemayim. If my words are the power of the Shemayim, my thoughts certainly are the power of the Shemayim. And therefore, this is the Shitase that he denies Ayin Hara. Okay, that's all we have to say about Ayin Hara.
And if you could probably still say that because the Lashon Hara, whatever it's going to do, that is a certain Chirish inside.
Meaning you could have said the Yisrokal Chirish is because of Mabaza him in the eyes of other people. If that's what you mean.
Yeah, that, and also if you have Simon, which isolated the Lashon Hara the same way.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, maybe the Rambam didn't say that because he didn't want to make the Kinta that you did in front of other people. After, not sure.
So which way did Judaism go for the last millennium?
What?
Which way did Judaism go?
Most people did not go the Rambam's way. Most people are worried about Ayin Hara, one way or the other. Okay, it's not a chiddush to tell you that most people's Judaism didn't go the Rambam's way. If you want, you can talk to your friend Avi. He can find your yeshiva where they did go the Rambam's way. No, I don't mean reject Ayin Hara, reject everything else I'll say about Ayin Hara. He says, of course, Ayin Hara is Dibri Chasidos. Chazal are saying that you shouldn't have a negative attitude and bad midos of how you look at people. It just doesn't hurt anyone.
So, like, how does he understand the story of David killing people?
What?
Like, when David killed people, that's Ayin Hara, so that people die.
Who says it's Ayin Hara? It's because he went against what the Torah said. He was punished for violating the Torah. The Torah says, I don't mean the Torah says explicitly, I mean the Torah spelled that, right? The Torah says that you shouldn't count the people directly. So you went against the Torah. Who says to the Ayin Hara? I don't know. Meaning, the Mefarshim say, the reason for Kisisa, why are all these Rishonim going to get a Kisisa? The reason that I count is because of Ayin Hara. But who said the Rambam has to agree? Maybe it's just because the Torah told you not to count. Why? There are many reasons the Torah can tell you not to count. You know, maybe it has to do with not having gaiva in your army, etc. You know, maybe it just has to do with your attitude towards people. There are many reasons you cannot count. It doesn't bother me. Okay. But the Rambam clearly here is saying it's not a hezek gadol vaday, which is very much the opposite of everyone else. I think it's pretty clear here that the Rambam just thinks Ayin Hara is not mazik, and then the Sushita saying klola. If even a klola is not mazik, then kol shekein, at least rationally, shamayim and Ayin Hara. Okay. Vai turn the Gemara then.
I should
yes, please. We have a lot to speak for both sides. Let's go. We are at the top of Gimel and Aleph. Lishna Achrina Amrila. The other Lashmi, the other Shitas, for Ramai Mechitza Plota, they mean Mechitza means splitting the Chatzar. It's about the Mechza Sa'edah. Mechza means splitting up. If they don't want to split the chacha, they don't have to split it. Once they want to split it, they are forced to build a kotel. Amma has to be a shmei has it. That's how we pass it. Mar says, "Ema ma'ima chitzak muda." The dam chitzak harish nifta omer l'vdar nifta omer l'vdar. It's the yashin and the gadar raise the kiddush by barusa. Maybe it means a wall, like in that mishnah or brisa. The time of the rotzo lower to ema chayvin also amma has to be a lashe. As if you want to build a wall, fine. If not, not because it's not shmei. As if no, we have to build a kotel. If so, why did they say bonum sakosa? What would also be violating? If Ratzalas and Mechitza means they want to make a wall, it should have said bonum also, not bonum esakosa. Ella my plunta. But what are you going to say it means? Plunta? Yachin should Ratzalas and Mechitza should also Latzos be violating. Then why did they say Ratzalas and Mechitza? It should say Ratzalachatzos. Simple way you say to split it. No, no, we need to talk about plunta. No, that's what we'll talk. Come, let's make a plunta. Vi hezek v'yishmei hezek my ear, Ratzal, a filo lo Ratzal nami. If hezek v'yishmei hezek, why don't they want to split the field? Even they don't want to split the field. Everyone's demand to split the field and get his half, and then they'll have to build a wall. Amar Basar Yochanan Mishnah saying Sheima Din Chalukah. No, it's a field that's so small, based on the Mishnah, later in the Barak. It's so small that it doesn't have a din. You can force someone to split it. The who to run. So, and therefore, you only split if they want to. My Hamash one. So then, what's the chiddush? If it's a chutzah that's too small to demand splitting, it doesn't have dalad amos for each person. Basically, the rule is anything that should fit own. That's not big enough that each one gets a useful half if they split it. You don't have to split. So, only if you want to split it. So, my kamashos, then what's the whole chiddush of the Mishnah? The whole Mishnah is saying that when they want to split it, they split it. If not, not. That even if they don't din chalukah, they can split if they want. That's obvious. Tanina, it's a Mishnah. Muslims, not she, shame, rotsim. Not shame, rotsim. Feel about me, kind of poke it. And only if they don't want to split. If they want to split it, even if it's very small, they split it. No, you might have thought from that Mishnah that, yeah, if it's small, you split it, but you just build a Mesipas. Remember, you took shelter when a Mesipas was, but it's something you can see. The Chiddush of our Mishnah is not that they split it if they want to. That's obvious. The Chiddush of our Mishnah is that once they split it, they have to build a Kotel because Hezriya Shmei has it. The listening, ha, below, listening, ha. So, but once we told an our mission, if they want to split, they split it. We shouldn't have to teach the leader mission. If they want to split, they split it. No, safe it's Rechalei. We don't have to teach that line of the leader mission, but we need it for the safe it. Because my Kodesh Amishim also Moyach Loku to teach you that in Kisvei HaKodesh, even if they want to split it, they're not allowed to split it. If we own jointly, let's say, we own jointly, say for Eov, but we want to split it, I'll take the first half. You'll take the second half, we're not allowed to, because that destroys Kisvei HaKodesh, takes away the Kedusha of Kisvei HaKodesh, and that's already Isurim, and not just Dinei Mamonos. Okay, maybe we will skip the parentheses. The Mayo Kinta, let's go to the Mayo Kinta. The Masnisim Sheimba Din Chaluka, Iba Sheimba Din Chaluka, he wrote to my Havin Hadruku. What do we say? Our Mishnah, we pass against Kriya Shmei Hezek. Our Mishnah is Benes Nodin Chaluka. If they want to split it, they split it. If not, not. But even if they want to split it, why do they have to split it? Why not change their mind and say, no, I don't want to split it anymore? Why are you chayiv to build a wall? Basically, they decide to split it. Now, all of a sudden, one of them tells the other one, you know, this rule has a Bria, now you have to chip in for a wall. So he says, no way, I don't want to chip in for a wall. So why can't he just change his mind and not split it? They did a Kenyan Sudar. Even though they did a Kenyan Sudar, how did that help? Kenyan Dvar Mi'alma, who is only a Kenyan on Dvar, on words. Meaning, Kenyan Sudar works on an object. I can transfer a certain object to your shus, right? I pick up your pen and I give you my cap. But here is just words, and we will split the chutzer. It's not an object. The answer is, the shakonim yadim beruchos. First answer is no. Their shakonim yadim beruchos. They didn't just say we'll split. That's just part of yad. They said, no, I'm doing a kinyan sudar that you get the north half, I get the south half. That's an actual object. Two in the north half and south half of the chutzer, which can transfer through kinyan sudar. Ravashi gives a different answer. No, Jehalach zeb social lobehetz, zeb social lobehetz. This guy went into his half and did a Kenyan Chazaka. This one did his half and did a Kenyan Chazaka. We'll come back to that. Let's just look for a moment at Kenyan Tvar. What's the assumption of our Gemara? If I do a Kenyan Suter with you, that I get the north half, you get the south half, that's valid. But I just do a Kenyan Suter with you. That, you know, you give me your pen, I pick up your pen, I say, I read this book of fields. That doesn't work, so I'm just agreeing to mere words. Kenyan Tvar. The big question here is, what exactly is wrong with Kenyan Devarim? Why can't I make a Kenyan to agree to split a chutzah? Clearly, it's not valid. I can only make a Kenyan to transfer a specific real estate to you, like Beruchos, a specific half of the chutzah by specifying the direction. I can't just accept upon myself the obligation to split it. That's only Kenyan Devarim. Why is a Kenyan Devarim not a valid Kenyan? What's wrong with a Kenyan Devarim? Okay, in general, when something's not a valid Kenyan, how many things could be the reason why it's not valid? Okay, sometimes the problem with the Kenyan is the Maisa. You haven't done a proper Maisa. The Maisa is not a valid Maisa. Sometimes the problem might be the Das, right? You're not serious about it. We don't think you're serious about it. And sometimes the problem could be the Etzem HaHalos. No, this result is not an achievable result that you can have a Kenyan for. And here we want to know, what's wrong with Kenyan Devarim? Why is Kenyan Devarim not Chal? What's the Chisorim in Kenyan Devarim? So, for example, what might you be dying from the Shulchan Aruch? Right, you notice the Shulchan Aruch. What did the Shulchan Aruch say that was interesting? The Shulchan Aruch calls it asmachta. What does he say? Lefishu asmachta, asher Rav Hoseinu kornos a kinyan dvarim bi'alma. This is an asmachta, which Rav Hoseinu called kinyan dvarim bi'alma. Now, what is asmachta? What's he talking about? If he says, etim lakach lakach, right? You do a kinyan, and in the Prelude of Shidduchim, that's what most of these kinyanim are about. The Tanim, they get together, that's the Tanim, and they do a Kenyan Sudar. Again, what's Kenyan Sudar? So it's called Chalipin. I give you my object, you pick it up, and therefore you prepare yourself. Say, I'll give her kach lekach, etim lekach lekach. See, that's not valid, it's an asmachta that Chazal called Kenyan Tvarim. What's the concept of an asmachta? Who can tell me what an asmachta is? Asmachta lokanya, what's asmachta?
You really don't mean it.
You assume it's not serious, because what kind of case are both asmachta? Case if, right? Asmachta is if. Like betting. Or the original Asmachtas are not betting. The Gemara also discussing from the betting, but the maybe don't, I think, I'm hard to say with the original case. One case they were betting is an Asmachta. The other case is penalty clauses. What do I say, right? I say, if I don't pay my debt by, you know, by this and this date, then I'll pay an extra penalty, etc. Right? If I don't finish building your house on time, what it says in the contract, then I'll give you $1 million penalty. So you think, well, that's a great way to make sure the contractor finishes on time. Don't write, Al, pay me $100 a day or something, right? Or 100 shekel a day. Write $1 million penalty if he doesn't finish on time, then he'll have to finish on time. The answer is no, he doesn't, because asmachta and asmachta lo kanya, right? Why is asmachta lo kanya? Because he wasn't serious about it. He didn't think it would happen. Yeah, basically, he would say, yeah, he thought he'd finish on time. He says, yeah, just write whatever you want. I'll give you $1 billion, $1 trillion, $1 zillion. What's the difference? It's not going to happen. Same for gambling. A lot of people think they're going to win. Now, okay, it's tricky. It depends what kind of gambling. It depends what the guy's gambling problem. But he's like, a guy makes a bet. He says, you know, I bet that I can do more push-ups than you. He says, I can bet $1 million, $1 gazillion, $1 billion. It doesn't matter because I know I can do more push-ups than you. I know I'm not going to lose. And then all of a sudden, I'm surprised you do more push-ups than me. Okay, so those are asmachta. They're not coming up because the guy wasn't serious and didn't think what happened. Says the Rif, he says, this is an asmachta that they call Kinyan Dvarim. The Rif is making a big chiddush. What's the problem with Kinyan Dvarim? The problem with Kinyan Dvarim is it's an asmachta. The person wasn't serious about it. He doesn't have das. Why doesn't he have das? Because if I say, I'm giving you the north half of the chatzer, then I take it seriously. I'm giving you real estate. If I say, I'll split the chatzer with you, I'm talking about later on, I'll split the chatzer with you. I'm like promising to do something later. When I promise to do something later, I don't really take it seriously. Right? We probably know many people. I'm not talking about Midos. Midos Hasidus should even Midos Midos. We all know that if someone promises to do something later, they're not serious about it. If they do it now, they are serious about it. We all know if you ask a kid to take out the garbage, if you ask him to take out the garbage, he says, okay, I'm doing it now, he's serious. He says, I'll do it as soon as I finish this game, then he's never going to do it. People just don't take it seriously if it's saying they're going to do something. So therefore, it's a chesaron in das. For the Rif, the chesaron seems to be a chesaron in das. That's the Rif. However, the Ramban seems to have a different approach. It's a little hard to tell. This is a Hakira, which, you know, is hard to pin anyone down. But the Ravan, in the beginning of the Ravan, says something very fascinating. Hashutfin sherotzu lasas mechitza, v'rminu gnar, v'hirotzu mayhav v'lehav, v'hu, v'shani shekana v'yadu lachlo to lasos koto. V'rchina kinyin dvar v'yalma luzeh. Interestingly, the first thing he discusses not as a bria, first thing he discusses kinyin dvar. What does he say? Kinyan b'mako mashichas chayfetz. Kinyan in the Lashon of Chazal and Rishonim usually means kinyan super. Kinyan b'mako mashichas chayfetz. A kinyan is instead of being Moshe pulling the chayfet, shemakna hulo, that he's being mocked with him. Udvarin lo shaychem mashicha. In your word, you can't be do mashicha to. What is he saying? A kinyan is like mashicha. To me, you can only be Moshe a physical object. You can't be Moshe a abstract promise. Dvarin. Since he describes it as mashicha, it sounds like Rabban, again, it's a big chiddush that kinyan is more like mashicha. But it sounds to our fault, like you're saying, the problem is the Maisa. You can't be Moshe, an abstract object, a non-physical, a non-concrete object. You can't be Moshe, something that's not concrete. That sounds like he's saying it's a problem in the Maisa, right? He compares it to a very physical action. After all, the whole point of Kinyan Sudar is that it's a very abstract action, right? I give you my pen. In those days, they did Sudar, the kerchief, right? Nowadays, I've seen people usually use a pen, but you can use any kli. I give you my clean, you pick it up, and therefore now you give me something. You might think that that maisa can apply to anything. Says there are no. It's the same as a maisa mashicha. It can only apply to things that mashicha can apply to. He makes it sound like the problems of the maisa. Okay, I'm leaving it as makes it sound like, you know, perhaps one could deny it, but that's certainly what it sounds like.
What would it accomplish if you specify which part of the way?
Aha, so he continues. Mashan means shekhana biyadu b'luchos, b'karka nikta b'kinyin, shemakna lo hakol. If I actually give you the whole piece of land that's nikta b'kinyin, Habakilu machziko bekarka. So all of a sudden he changes too, and he says it's like mashicha or chazaka. And chazaka could work for karka, for a specific piece of karka. So if I say you're getting the north, it's like you did a king chazaka in that piece. So, and therefore, he says, if someone says, I'll give you something that's not a valid kinyan, so it's a kinyan tomorrow, but if he says, I am now giving it to you, then the kinyan is chal. Okay, so it could be a problem in the maisa, it could be a problem in the das. The riff is very clear. I think the Ravan, even though, you know, he keeps comparing it to, Mashiach is not shy. You can't do Mashiach. I think what Ravon is saying if you have a concrete object, then Chal even applies to it. If not, not. Again, here, maybe I'm going a little further than the Ravon. What might you say is the spark behind that? Chalipin is ultimately, how do you look at chalipin? There are different ways to look at chalipin. Maybe we'll discuss it a little later in the year. But let's say the simplest shot to look at king and sugar, or king and chalipin, is that I'm trading. Right? I'm trading X for Y. Right? It's a symbolic trading, but it's trading. Right? I give Eitan my pen, and he gives me his cow. Right? When you pick up my pen, I'm now pulling your cow, which is back home in your barn. How does that work? So I'm trading the pen for a cow. Maybe you can only trade a concrete object for a concrete object. Right? But then maybe the mice of Chalipin only works. Again, this is adding a lot to the Ravan. He just compares it to Mashiha. But maybe what he means is that only a concrete object. So let's just put on the board here. What is the problem? What is the chisaron of Kenyan Devarim? You could say it's in the Maisa. The Maisa needs a concrete object to be chal on. This pen has to be connected to some concrete object. Right? Maybe the Ravon, that's the Mashmos of the Ravon. Or you could say it's the Das. And that is the sheet of the riff. It's like a smachta, you don't take it seriously. If I'm not actually talking about a concrete object, I'm just talking about what I'm going to do. Basically, you're talking about Maisa as opposed to a Chefza. I'm making a kinyan on a mice that I'll do as opposed to a chefza. I don't take it seriously. Or you could say, perhaps, that, meaning, what do you mean by the chalos? It's not something that is shy of to owning. I can't own the right for you to do a mice. It's not in the process. Not that you own the right das, you're doing the right, they're the wrong mice. It's just that there's no such thing as being obligated to me to do a certain mice. You can only own things. You can't own rights for people to act in a certain way. I can't say, you know, I am making a kinyan. I am giving you the right for me to, you know, I don't know. I'm giving you the right for me to change my socks every day. Because you really don't like smelly socks. No, I'm not taking steps. I'm giving you, that's not something you can own. You can own an object. You can even own a sheep and a chassid, meaning I have a lien on your property for certain amounts of money. But you can't own the right for someone to do something. So maybe it's just not an achievable result. Right? It's not an achievable result, meaning, what do you mean here? Here I mean, chalipin only relates to a concrete object, or you don't take it seriously. Or perhaps what I mean is that just there's no such result. Meaning, you can't own better. A right for someone to do an action. That's kinyan devarim. It's just words. You can only own a hefta. There's no hefta. If there's no hefta, maybe the problem is the mice. It's hard to the mice with that trap. So maybe the mice doesn't take it so seriously. Maybe there's just no such result. Meaning there is no such halos. You can't own the right for someone to do something. You can only own a chefta. Or perhaps a sheep in the chefta, you can own a certain amount of money in the chefta, right? I can have that now, you know, all your property. I have a $1 million mortgage on your property, but I can't own the right for you to do something. Okay, what might be the nafkamina of these, what might be a nafkamina between them? So perhaps, so that's a great question. I mean, the Tosfos and the Brush, the fifth paragraph of Sukkos, the beginning of the fifth paragraph of Sukkos, paragraph will be discussed. How can someone owe me money? I mean, how can someone owe me money, right? And that's a big machlokes. Taka Ravina Tam says, I want to get into it now. He says, actually, no one can owe me money. It's only their, I have a mortgage in their property. Oh, what if they have no property? But we assume they do have property. Because they're motivated to have property. Okay, so it's locked up. It could be that someone can't owe me money. Only their property can owe me money. Or it could be that someone can owe me money. But maybe that is a this possibility. Maybe that's different. Okay, you have to fit it in. But there is a shita that no one can owe me money. There is no such thing as shita. Now, what might be an afkamina? An afkamina might be, what about a case where I get around the problem of a maisa? Like, how about one classic case? What if, and here this is not really working in the Ravan, but what if I do a different maisa? What about other kinyanim that are not chalipin? Maybe through other kinyanim that are not chalipin, I can do a kinyan tvarim. Not so crazy. Right? Maybe chalipin can do a kinyan tvarim, but other kinyanim can. Now, I don't have a chorus for all kinyanim about this, but there is a fascinating reading Yona later on in the Vine Zainab and Aleph about kinyan chazaka. The question is this. Can I sell you my field? What's the case? I sell you my field. I sell later on my field. And I say, Ikona with Kenyan Chazaka. Kenyan Chazaka means he goes and he improves the land, he builds a wall, he takes down the wall, etc. And we'll spend a lot of time this year figuring out exactly what Kenyan Chazaka means. And I say, and I promise to write you a shtar that I sold you the field. So he does the Kenyan Chazaka. Do I now have to write him a shtar? Do I now have to write him a shtar? Or do we say, no, Kenyan Chazaka, he buys the field, but I don't have to write a shtar, it's Kenyan Tvarim. I don't have to do anything. So says the Rinna Yoma here, he says, obviously, I can't owe him writing in the shtar. I can't like say, now I have to write him a shtar. Right? What does the Eitan want? He wants my field. He also wants that in 10 years, they'll have proof that he bought my field. So he says, I'm going to the field to Kenyan Chazaka, but part of the deal is that you'll write me a shtar, so in 10 years, no one will question it. I still don't have to write him a shtar. It's Kenyan Dvar. He doesn't acquire the right for me to write him a shtar. Some people say, no, I'm chayav to write a mishtar. Now, he doesn't explain. Yeah, I know it's a one line out of context, but if you look in context, there's no more context about this. He doesn't explain, and what happened to Kenyan Tvarim? It's an interesting question. What about Kenyan Tvarim? You know, so I'm not sure. What about Kenyan Tvarim? If I was machzik al das that you have to write mishtar, then you have to write mishtar. So it's not so clear. Maybe he thinks that a kinyan chazaka works for kinyan tvarim, and only kinyan chalipin doesn't work for kinyan tvarim. That would be a big chiddush. That would be a big chiddush, and I would admit that I might have to even want to take that in a totally different direction, but. Let's say, for example, what's an afkamina? Other maasei kinyan. What are other maasei kinyan? If they close impossible, then still. No kinyan tvar. If you said I don't take it seriously, then no matter what my site did, it wouldn't work for kinyan tvar. If you say I don't take it seriously, no matter what my site did, it shouldn't work for kinyan tvar. But if you say that it's found the mice that it doesn't work for kinyan tvar, then maybe another mice that would work for kinyan tvar. Then maybe another mice could work Maybe another Maisa could work. Maybe Chalipin doesn't work for Kenyan Dvarim. But another Maisa could work for Kenyan Dvarim. Just because Chalipin doesn't work, why does that mean another Maisa doesn't work for Kenyan Dvarim? Maybe another Maisa could work for Kenyan Dvarim. And where do we find by other Maasim? We find one discussion by Kenyan Chazaka. So first they in Rabbeinu Yonah says it doesn't work for Kenyan Dvarim. But the second Deya in Rabbeinu Yonah says it does work for Kenyan Dvarim. So maybe only Kenyan Suda doesn't work for Kenyan Dvarim. But Kenyan Chazaka, because it's a problem, I said Kenyan Suda. But Kenyan Chazaka would work for Kenyan Dvarim. Or another discussion in the Shulchan Arush. What about Kenyan we call Situmta? What's Situmta? What's Situmta?
Various merchants make.
So the Gemara says that there was a minute of the merchants do a certain Maisa Kenyan called Situmta. It seems to be like maybe some mark on the wine barrel, so that he bought it and says, in a muck over the minute of the Situmta is Kona, it's Kona. From there, the Rishon and Achronim assumed that anytime there's a minute that a certain Maisa is Kona, that's Kona. Which is very relevant to Lachal Maisa nowadays. There are many Achronim who wrote that the Diamond District, with all the Hasidim, what they do is they say Mazel and Bracha, and that's what seals the deal. And maybe that's Kona for them, because that's what we didn't see Tokta. So that has to do with like modern day Kinyanim, etc., electronic Kinyanim. You know, all of these like have halach and validity we didn't see Tokta. The question is, does Tokta work for Kinyan Dvarim? So if you look at Shulchan Arush, what was he talking about? He was talking about if you promise someone, they can be sandik for your kid. Promise something to be sandik for your kid. That's a big covenant to be sandik. Is that, can you change your mind? Is it valid or not? So what does he say? He says, B'davar zeh sheheikum l'asas mitzvah achas kinyan dvarim bi'alma. So first he says, it's a kinyan dvarim bi'alma. What do you mean? I'll let you be sandik. There's no chapter there. It's a kinyan dvarim. But then he quotes from his regular memory report. Chasar b'ravim b'ayr. Ksav b'ravim b'ayr. What does my memory report say? Someone who promised his friend that he would let him be sandik, we should follow the minhag because it says Mamatsiya Situmta Ba'asru Dekanu Mamishkani. He knows Dabashlo Boliolam, right? Because the baby's not born yet. Still, it's Situmta is Kumna. And he says that's ridiculous. Okay, he has a lot of time, his technical time against him. He doesn't think it's like Situmta. What does Maram think? Situmta works for telling someone they can be a sandik. Telling someone they can be a sandik, not transferring any types of property to them. It's just promising them to a mitzvah, letting them be sandik. So apparently, the Maharaj word thinks Situmta works for Kenyan Dvarim. If there's no such thing as owing someone to do a Maisa, then let's put this a little more mellifluous. Right? Other Maasei Kinyanim. Kenyan Dvarim. If there's no such result, then any Maisa Kenyan can be Kona. If there is such, if just from the Maisa, Ula Maisa Acheres, Kona, the Kenyan Dvarim. And what do we find by Situmta? The Maharami Wurttemberg says that it works. And the Rush, we're not sure. He says the Kenyan Dvarim, and then the Maharami Wurttemberg says Situmta. He says 100 reasons why it's not Situmta. And he never gets back to does it come to work fundamentally for Kenyan Dvarim or does it not. But here we have clearly the problem of the Maisa. The whole point of Situmta is you don't need any particular Maisa. The whole point of Kenyan Situmta is that any Maisa that's agreed upon works. It doesn't matter. There's no restrictions on the Maisa. The whole Chab, the whole Kiddush of Situmta is there's no special Maisa needed. Just any Maisa is good enough. So here you would say the Maharam. The Maharam says Situmta works for Kenyan Dvarim. If there's just no such thing, then obviously you couldn't say like the Maharam. You'd have to say it doesn't work for Kenyan Dvarim, which is basically what the, which we're not sure exactly what the Rush holds about this. If you say it's a problem with Das, that's an interesting question. Does Situmta overcome a lack of seriousness or only overcome a lack of Maisa? Like, does Situmta also make it more serious than normal or not? But L'chora, I would say no. Situmta is just a substitute Maisa. In which case, I would say the Maharami Wurttemberg probably holds Kenyan Dvarim's problem the Maisa. The Maisa can't be toface of Maisa as opposed to a Chefza. The Maisa Kinyan doesn't know how to apply to something that's not a Chefza, but it's Itumta, the whole creation system, because you don't need a particular Maisa Kinyan. Whatever people do automatically counts the Maisa Kinyan. So if that's what people do, then the Maisa Kinyan is good enough. Another nafkamina could be, I apologize that I didn't put this on the course sheet, but there's a Rashba Daf of Mem and Beis Bar Masechet who argue about Shkimira. Shkimira, a guy in his deathbed, whatever he says without a Maisa, it goes to that person. What about Shkimira? Can a Shkimira be Makhe a Kinyan Dvarim or not? Interesting question. So, he quotes there, I mean, it's also in the Rebbe Gash, that the Rebbe Gash says that a Shkib Meira can be Makhne Kinyan Dvarim. No. Where?
In the last prayer.
Kinyan Dvarim.
It lists things that the Shkib Meira says.
So one of the things he says is that if my wife gives birth to a boy, he should take 100 dinar. So the Rebbe Gash says, that's a Kinyan Dvarim, that's what works for Shemira. And the Rashba says, that's not a Kinyan Dvarim, he meant a Makna, 100 dinar. Because if it was a Kinyan Dvarim, again, what does Rebbe Gash say? Kinyan Dvarim works for Shemira. What does the Rashba say back to him? He says, Lo hotzin yoshi hefresh ben Shemira labari b'ma she'en lo guf, v'lo b'ma she'en lo elu dvarim y'alma. We never heard this in the Shemira Barim for something that's not concrete, because the guf is only dvarim y'alma. So it's not true, right? Basically, what does the Rashba say? A Shemira can't be makne, can you dvarim? But the Rebbe Gash says a Shemira can be makne, can you dvarim? And I think this would have to do with this. This ties into this machlokas, right? If you say, right? The Rebbe Gash says, a shchimera, the whole chap of shchimera is divrei shchimera that divrei, with the words of shchimera counts as a maisa kinyan. Shchimera doesn't need a maisa kinyan. If you don't need a maisa kinyan, then you can make then. If the problem is there's no maisa kinyan on something that's not concrete, if you don't need a maisa kinyan, then you're good to go. Then it works. If you say there's no such halos, then clearly you can say like the Rashba at low kana. If you said it's a problem with das, then it's a little tricky because a shchid mirah takes things more seriously than a regular person. When you're dying, you can take things more seriously. So it could be that you could say, ah, a shchid mirah can make a kinyan dvarim because he takes everything more seriously. So what a normal person doesn't take seriously, he does. Where I'd say, no, a shchid mirah doesn't take things more seriously than anyone else. He just is exactly for maisa. Basically, what we see from here is that there's one shita that a Kinyan Dvarim just never works. You can never make a Kinyan Dvarim. You can never make a Kinyan Dvarim. Another sheet that you can't make a Kinyan Dvarim with a Kinyan Suda. Hanami Yadda, Kinyan Suda. But you can with other things like Kazaka, like Sutumta, like Shkib Mira, and that might depend on what the problem is. The problem is there's no such halos possible, and you can never make a Kinyan Dvarim. The problem is the Mice of Chalipin doesn't work. The Mice of Chalipin doesn't work for Kinyan Dvarim. But other things might work for Kinyan Dvarim. And then the problem is the Das, you don't take it seriously like the Rif, then it might depend on what case. And Kinyan Chazaka also shouldn't work because you have no more Das than normal. Of course, he told also you have no more Das than normal. But a Shimura, maybe you do have more Das than normal. And therefore, it should work and overcome the normal lack of Das. Okay, I see that our time is rapidly ending.
How do we relate to divrei shchimera kechzuvim mechatumim dummy that should lechor? It's like a star.
But it doesn't mean it's literally like a star because, for example, shchimera can transfer metaltalin. A star can't transfer metaltalin. It really just means it's kona without a maisa. I think that's what you have to say. Okay. Interestingly, a lot of rishonim here say kinyan dvarim doesn't work by chalipin, by kinyan suger. Like, for example, Rashi here says, the ein chalipin konim ela davar nikna omecher matano shibit karkosha kinyan chol lavo metaltalin. And the Rebbe Yosef says the same thing. They make it seem like it's a specific din in chalipin. The Ramban He puts the rule of Kinyan Dvarim in Perek Hay of El Tahira by the dean of Kinyan Chalipin. So many Mishomes say Kinyan Chalipin doesn't work. What does that seem to imply? Might imply, it's, here it's unclear. Many Mishomes say Chalipin doesn't work. They don't specify more why. They don't say what other things do work. So here it's not so clear. Meaning, the Rishonim who say, let's just say, Rashi, Yuki Yosef, Bechuli, Mashmaos, you know, the Rambam, who puts it in the Perek of King Chalipin, right? The Mikum, placement of the Rambam, who all say that Chalipin, Eino Kona, Kinyan Dvarim. It's not clear to me. Does that mean they're on the side of the Rimi Gash, the Rabbi Rittberg, and the second day of Rimi necessarily? Here, it's not clear to me how Dafka going to take it. If you read it very Dafka, Rash says Chalipin's not Kona, but other things could be Kona. Yosef says Chalipin's not Kona, other things could be Kona. The Rambam puts it in Erikei and Dine Chalipin. So it's only a problem with Chalipin. So you could say they go on this side, right? Meaning, maybe Ula Yesh Ladayek, the Shar Maasei HaKinyonim Konim. But I'm not sure, because they could mean even Chalipin doesn't work. I mean, they might mean even Chalipin doesn't work. I mean, well, obviously the other things are not going to work, because, like, again, we're going to go aside. How do you Mashiha on a Kinyan Dvarim? You know, like, we didn't think. No, I mean, even Chalipin doesn't work, even though Chalipin works for the most things.
Yeah.
Because Chalipin works Bein Lekarka, Bein Lemetalit, which most things don't work for Karka Metalit. Because I don't know if it works for Karka. Shtar only works for Karka. Sheikh only works for Metalit. So Chalipin works for many things. Even Chalipin works for both Karka and Metalit, doesn't work for Dvarim. So it's not so clear. I'm not sure if I want to put everyone on that side of the Chakira. I'm not sure that I necessarily want to put everyone on that side of the Chakira. But Ulai Ain Ladayak Bekavanasam Lomar de Afilu Chalipin de Mehani Bekarka Uven Metalfalin, which is very rare. All the other Kenyan work for only Karka or Metalfalin. Lomahani Liknos Kenyan Dvarim. So, you know, you're tempted to say the Rambam puts it in the Perek of Chalipin, Perkei of Hilfus. Mechira. Rashi says Chalipin ain't Kona. So you might think, so there are a few other Rishonim, that only Chalipin don't work, but other Kinyan do, in which case you put them on the right side of Mechira, but I'm just not 100% convinced that that's true, because they could mean even Chalipin doesn't work, even though it works for everything else in the world. But Kolshkin, other things don't work, it only works for some Heftas. Things don't work for some Heftas, for sure don't work for Tvarim. Even Chalipin works for all Heftas, still doesn't work for Tvarim. I'm not sure whether to make a deep or not, and therefore I'm certainly not going to, you know, I'm not willing to say that I know where they hold in terms of this Hakira. Okay, one could speculate many other Nafkamidas as well, but I don't have the quotes for. But we'll leave that for now. We didn't get to everything about Kinyan Dvarim. Maybe we'll briefly finish up our discussion of Kinyan Dvarim next time and move on to the rest of the Makor sheet, and then go on a little weiter in the Gemara. So next time, we'll briefly finish up our discussion of Kinyan Dvarim, even though we got the main discussion here, and then we'll discuss the issue of Rav Ashi, Halach Zevetok Shalom Hefzik, Zevetok Shalom Hefzik, and then we'll go on in the Gemara, and the next Gemara is pretty technical. We're not really going to have a lot to say about it, or even anything to say about it much, and the next real sugya is Gimel and Beis, based on SS. So let's continue in the Gemara, Rashi Tosfos, till the first wide line of Gimel and Beis, and then I'll send out more Makaros here to Hashem.
So where do you feel you got to?
Up to the last line of three. Okay, so Mirza Hashem to be continued. You'll get the last word
right now.
No, the Rashba thinks that his words count as a Maisikinyan, that I heard the rice. The Rashba thinks that a Shimura doesn't need a Maisa. No, he said Shimura doesn't need a Maisa. So why doesn't it work for Kinyan Dvarim? Because the chisorim can be burned. It's not a chisorim device. It's a chisorim of chalos. That you just can't have such a chalos.
So then what are the, where is the chalos language that says that
ah, he's really saying I'm mocking him 100 dinar right now. He's really saying that right there, something right now. I'm mocking the heck of 100 dinar. But that's what I should say. He's really means I'm mocking the heck of 100
dinar. Which, the next two is a mice and a hello.
No, 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 you do. Right, hello, says I'm mocking the heck of 100
dinar. Why is that? Why does it more than
basically, the reason God says it is a kidney bargain, but it works for a shiver. The Rosh says it's not a kidney bargain, it works for a regular person also. It works for a kidney suitor also. They basically argue how to interpret the word. He says that the Yolba Ishki's offered, Tomeya. The Rosh says that means the translation of those words are, I am mocked 100 dinar to this baby. Rather than saying, I am letting this baby take 100 dinar if he's born man. Which would be a kidney part. Sorry, you have to look at it.
Are you still recording?
What? Oh, yeah. It just takes one second.